Winter Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal for September 12, 2002, with Meredith DeFrancesco and Amy Brown. Today we'll be talking with Jim Hightower, grassroots populist and political commentator, who will be in Maine this week for a benefit for public employees for environmental responsibility. Jim Hightower is a national radio commentator, writer, public speaker, and author of If the Gods Had Meant Us to Vote, They Would Have Given Us Candidates. Jim Hightower spent three decades battling the powers that be on behalf of the powers that ought to be, according to his website, and those are consumers, working families, environmentalists, small businesses, and just plain folks. Twice elected to the Texas Agricultural Commission, Hightower believes that the true political spectrum is not right to left, but top to bottom, and he has become a leading national voice for the 80% of the public who no longer find themselves within shouting distance of the Washington and Wall Street powers at the top. Hightower broadcasts daily radio commentaries that are carried on more than 60 commercial and public stations on the web and on Radio for Peace International. You can hear them here on WERU every weekday at 11 o'clock. Each month he publishes a populist political newsletter, The Hightower Lowdown, which has more than 50,000 subscribers and is growing rapidly. The Lowdown recently received the Alternative Press Award for the best national newsletter. A popular public speaker who is fiery and funny, he is a populist road warrior who delivers more than 100 speeches a year to all kinds of groups. His newspaper column is carried in more than 30 alternative newspapers, magazines, and other publications. A best-selling author, Hightower's latest book, If the Gods Had Meant Us to Vote, They Would Have Given Us Candidates, has just been completely updated and released in a paperback version by HarperCollins. His previous books are There's Nothing in the Middle of the Road But Yellow Stripes and Dead Armadillos, Eat Your Heart Out, and Hard Tomatoes, Hard Times. Hightower frequently appears on television and radio programs, bringing a hard-hitting populist viewpoint that rarely gets into the mass media. In addition, he works closely with the alternative media, and in all of his work, he keeps his ever-ready Texas humor up front, practicing the credo of an old Yugoslavian proverb, "You can fight the gods and still have fun." Hightower was raised in Denison, Texas, in a family of small business people, tenant farmers, and working folks. A graduate of North Texas University, he worked in Washington as a legislative aide to Senator Ralph Yarborough of Texas, then co-founded the Agribusiness Accountability Project, a public interest project that focused on corporate power in the food economy, and he was the national coordinator of the 1976 Fred Harris for President campaign. Hightower then returned to his home state, where he became the editor of the feisty biweekly The Texas Observer. He served as director of the Texas Consumer Association before running for statewide office and being elected to two terms as the Texas Agricultural Commissioner, 1983 to 1991. During the 1990s, Hightower became known as America's most popular populist, developing his radio commentaries, hosting two radio talk shows, writing books, launching his newsletter, giving fiery speeches coast to coast, and otherwise speaking out for the American majority that's being locked out economically and politically by the elites. As political columnist Molly Ivins says, quote, "If Will Rogers and Mother Jones had a baby, Jim Hightower would be that rambunctious child, mad as hell and with a sense of humor," end quote. And Jim Hightower joins us by phone today from southern Maine, where he'll be participating in a meeting of the group PEER, Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility, a national group which has a Maine chapter based out of Millinocket. PEER is a private nonprofit organization that protects government employees who protect our environment by speaking out. Welcome back to Maine, Jim.
Well, I'm just worn out from that resume.
Very impressive.
You've been busy.
Thanks for joining us.
Great to be with both of you and with all of our WERU listeners.
Yes, and we're going to invite some of them to also call in and ask questions in a few minutes, too, if they have any. But maybe you could kind of get the ball rolling by telling us a little bit more about what about this group here inspired you to come to Maine and speak out at their gathering.
I know you were here earlier a few months ago for the New Chautauqua, but now you're back again.
Yes, I was there for New Chautauqua and also was there for the Maine Organic Growers and Farmers.
Great, MAFCA.
Yeah, it was just terrific, both of those events really kicked off our whole Rolling Thunder idea, starting in Unity, Maine, and then basically have been working. Basically, Rolling Thunder is a sort of consortium of good progressive groups, and one of the most activist and most productive groups is this group called PEER, the Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility. I first came across them actually out in Oregon and in Washington State, though they are all over the country. And my joy to be able to join the group there in Maine on when are we here? Let's see. This is on
Saturday evening, the 14th, I believe.
Yeah, the 14th, not this Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
You haven't made other plans, have you?
I completely lost my mind. Yes, there it is. over in Gorham, Maine.
Right.
And we're going to be at the McCormick School for the Performing Arts there, and the Bookworm bookstore is going to provide books where we'll do a book signing after it. But I always go with the independent bookstores wherever I am. Always support your independents, just like your community radio stations, and we can build a little democracy that way.
Right. And what issues will you be addressing while you're there that you'll be talking about that this group is dealing with and that you also are dealing with?
There'll be a number of things, including energy independence, that I'll be talking about in my newsletter, The Hightower Lowdown. Early this year, I did a piece on, you know, where the hell is the progressive members of the Congress? Why aren't we leading the charge for energy independence in this country? No clearer signal could have been sent than 9/11 that
yes.
You know, we ought not to be just continuing down this same stupid path. We got a saying here in Texas: if you find that you've dug yourself into a hole, the very first thing to do is quit digging.
And what were some of those policies that you wish that would be pursued?
Well, I mean, I think they're kind of obvious, but just in a general sense, we should declare, you know, launch a 10-year crash program, a moonshot style program that says within a decade we're going to retrofit every home and every building, every school in America, putting thousands of carpenters and sheet metal workers and plumbers to work. We're going to build high-speed trains using those machinists that Boeing aircraft says that they don't need because they're moving their operations to China. We are going to lock our scientists, our very best technologists, into a room and not let them out until they've dealt with a few remaining technological problems that keep solar and wind power and fuel cells and other independent sources of energy from getting mass distribution in the country. And, you know, and in 10 years' time, we're going to have a new energy system, a new energy, a new transportation infrastructure that not only Americans can be proud of, but that they can rely on for the future. And this is even better than the moonshot, because the moon program that John Kennedy launched, all we did was watch that and finance it. This one we would participate in. It would excite America, rally America, instead of George W. Bush saying to the people, well, your role in the war is to go shopping and now to also spy on your neighbor through the TIPS program and to obey the color codes, whatever those mean.
Well, Jim, we just got word that we have a representative from PEER on the phone. We'd actually called Tim Caverly to contact from PEER. And is that Tim? Are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Great.
Hey,
so
Jim.
You two should be able to hear each other and talk a little bit more about what the group is. And also, as you go along, if folks have questions, they can call in. We have one more phone line available, so one person can call in at a time. If you know somebody's on the line, you'll get a busy signal, but try back. The number here is 469-0500 or 1-866-625-9378. That's toll-free if you're outside the calling area. So, Jim Hightower, Tim Caverly, tell us more about PEER and the event coming up this weekend, if you would, please.
Well, we're public employees for environmental responsibility in our nationwide organization, and we're really excited to have Jim come to Maine. This is a great opportunity for the folks in Maine to hear his message.
As I was reading about the group PEER, it sounds like one of the things that you really want people to know is that public employees can kind of take back the mission of the agencies, the environmental agencies that they work for, and be watchdogs that the policies are really enforced, and that the Forest Service, for instance, is actually working in the service of the forest, and if they're not, you offer a place where people can call confidentially and be more or less whistleblowers if need be?
You've summed it up very well, Amy.
Thank you.
We all we like to say is that we help public employees hold their agencies accountable so that those agencies not only are they ethically managed, but they're also managed according to the law.
This is really an essential thing. Let me just add here, and just an invaluable contribution to our nation. You know, it's popular to bash bureaucrats, but the fact is that the vast majority of public employees in this country are dedicated to the work that they do, and none more so than the people in the environmental agencies, and they actually mean it. They actually want environmental protection, whereas sometimes the political appointees intrude and, you know, have connections with the with developers or whatever and begin to make compromises that the employees don't support and that the public wouldn't support, but the public wouldn't know it except that we've got some courageous employees, and with organizations like PEER supporting them, are able to get the word out that we need to do a good job here.
And see how this would be something that would go along with your populist principles and your values as well, Jim.
Completely. And this is, you know, it's also, you know, ordinary people doing the work of democracy. The powers that be are always going to find loopholes. They're going to find, with their political contributions and connections, a way to play power games. But if we, the people, stand up, which is, after all, what democracy has been about since 1776 in this country, then we can take power back and do the public service.
Could you both comment how you on the state of the environment right now, particularly with the Bush administration's policies about the environment?
Or their dismantling of policies about the environment?
Yeah, well, I can. I mean, and maybe a little more independent than Tim, because, you know, the politics of it, but, you know, we're in the ditch. We were making, you know, at best incremental gains before George W. Bush, but this guy in Texas, as governor, we watched him, and he was an absolute corporate wet dream. I mean, any fantasy that a polluter had, you know, came true just by making campaign contributions to George W. And so, you know, he pioneered here the voluntary compliance with pollution regulations. Now, that's kind of odd, isn't it? We could ask all the bank robbers to just voluntarily comply with the law, and that's the approach that Bush took in Texas, and now he's taken it to Washington, D.C., and so we see the results. You see the big scenes, like the drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge and big hullabaloo over that. I personally think that's a sort of a distraction, that they intentionally get us focused on some just impossibly outrageous scheme like that. And we spend all of our time focused on that, while meanwhile they're appointing polluters to the anti-pollution positions in government, and they are opening up all kinds of other areas, including national parks and oceans, to the plunderers of our environment.
Yeah, and on a local level, you know, that's filtered down into Maine, where the politics are making the decisions rather than science. And we're seeing it in almost every state agency today, where the scientists, their recommendations are either being ignored or there's a lid on it, so that the common sense way to move ahead isn't being followed.
Is there any consultation with the people who are actually doing the work in the areas? I know you, Tim, worked for many years as the head of the Allagash Wilderness Waterway.
Yes.
How much do the actual people who are out there in these areas and observing these ecosystems every day have in terms of influence and policy decisions that are made in the state about how those ecosystems are going to be managed?
Depending on the politics of the day, Amy, if it's not a hot political topic and the recommendations can be made fairly easily, then quite often that will happen. But if it is a political topic and there's a political will there, then quite often these recommendations are either ignored or the employees are actively discouraged from making recommendations.
We'd like to give out those numbers for the studio one more time, 469-0500 or toll-free at 866-625-9378 if anyone has any questions or comments they'd like to call in with. Let's jump in with, we've seen a heightened resistance against corporate globalization institutions and policies through mass popular movement, despite heightened talk about aligning them perhaps with terrorism. And now the transparent take off the curtain, off the Oz, Enron-type revelations about corporate operations. Do you see the time ripe for corporate reform from the people's perspective, Jim?
Well, yes. I think it... That time has been upon us for the last few years.
Yes.
I think 10 years ago, corporate power was more of an abstract. Today, though, in the intervening decade, corporate power became the HMO that's denying you coverage. It became the drug giant that's gouging you on drug prices. It's the great big corporation incorporated that moved your job off to China. It's the corporations that are stealing your local, state, and national government out from under you with their campaign contributions. So right on down the line, corporate power becomes a face-to-face reality. And then, of course, since George W. Bush, corporate power took a front seat on the national stage, and then came the embarrassment of Enron and WorldCom and Global Crossing and Martha Stewart and IBM, and you can just go down the list. They like to say, "Oh well, it's a few bad apples." Well, it's an orchard full of bad apples, and the system itself has gone amok, is what's happened, and people are in rebellion against that, and they're looking for ways to get a hold of it and to bring power back to the grassroots level.
Which is an interesting thing to keep in mind when you consider that a large chunk of the state of Maine is corporately owned. This is a state that has a lot of land that's in private ownership.
And particularly in the forest industry,
right.
I suppose, yeah. But your state has been pioneers in rebellion against this legislatively, thanks to people like Shelley Pingree and other members of the legislature, but more importantly, the grassroots power of the senior citizens and the Maine People's Alliance, et cetera, behind that, those legislators.
Maine Earth First.
Yeah, getting things like prescription drug pricing reform and things like public financing of the elections. Maine is the national leader.
Great. We do have a call on the line, Radio Bob.
Hello.
Hi. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Just three quick things. First, I wanted to thank you for so effectively getting in the face of such a monster and risking life and limb for it. For that, I thank you. And you can thank me for keeping your voice on this radio station for 3 years. I'm Radio Bob. This is Bob with Angie. And I wonder if you could just comment a little bit about public relations. We're affected here in Maine by a certain public relations outfit out of San Francisco, of all places, that that is turning local media into something else.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about this particular case. You'd think that there'd be enough business in San Francisco to keep these people there, but they know no bounds, and so I'm not surprised that they would launch off into Maine. But the whole public relations industry has become dominant. Propaganda is really what it is, and we're seeing this now nationally. With the Pentagon and the White House using PR firms to try to propagandize we the people in support of their war adventures that they're off on. But that whole industry, in fact, there's a great newsletter called PR Watch. I presume it's prwatch.com. You could probably check it out. Does a regular job. John Stauber is the editor of that and really stays on top of that whole thing. And if you need more information about a particular PR firm in your area or in your state, they're a good source to get it.
You talk about the widening war on terrorism, obviously very timely right now, including the Bush administration's quest for war in Iraq.
Yeah. Well, you know, patriotism doesn't mean being stupid. You know, we're all good patriotic Americans, but patriotism is to bring out the best in the American people, which is our belief in the very values that we say are under assault, the values of dissent, the values of all the freedoms that we represent, and the values of economic fairness, social justice, equal opportunity. But those values are being set aside by the Bush administration, particularly by John Ashcroft, who I think, you know, gets up every morning and eats an extra bowl of Fruit Loops or something. This guy is completely beyond the pale, so much so that even the conservative fringe right wing has begun to turn on him, because he's proposing unleashing the FBI, unleashing the CIA, in fact, not just proposing, doing it, using this secret foreign intelligence court, and otherwise using the power of big government, big brother, if you will, to go after terrorists, he says, except if you read the U.S. Patriot Act, you will find that the vast majority of the provisions in it are not limited to terrorists. They are wide open to anybody who is perceived to be, in effect, in opposition to government policy and to be an impediment to government policy, and that they then have increasingly secret powers to be able to crush citizens. This would make Thomas Jefferson, Jimmy Madison, and the boys back then just gag. This is not what they had in mind. In fact, that's what they were fighting against.
Did you?
No.
Go ahead. I was just wondering your perspective, too, on whether you think that the Bush administration will be successful in engaging our country in war.
Well, they thought they were just going to do it by executive fiat, and thankfully, we've got some members of Congress, including, of all people, like Dick Armey, the otherwise odious Republican majority leader in the House of Representatives, who basically stood up to Bush and said, we have no right, you know, unless there is a clear, credible and imminent threat of us being under assault by Saddam Hussein, we do not have the right to be engaged in, I love this phrase, regime change there or anywhere else. Because, of course, the problem is, as President Chirac of France just said this last week in the New York Times, that, you know, if we can do regime change, well, doesn't that mean that China can say, well, we're threatened by Taiwan and we're going to do a regime change there? And won't India say Pakistan needs a regime change? And then won't somebody say America needs a regime change?
It's already been said. That's right.
Yeah. So you're on pretty slippery slope, you know, if you want to go down that. And the good news is that the media establishment in this case mostly has not bought it. Though, you know, they're certainly susceptible to going along with it, and a lot of the political forces have not bought it as well. So, and none of, except for you know, Tony Puppeteer Blair, none of our allies have jumped on this bandwagon. So the good news is that Bush himself has had to be backed off of this, and you'll remember that Scowcroft and Eagleburger and some of these folks, Jim Baker from Papa Bush's administration, also have been warning against just the Bush's Iraq attack adventure that he has in mind.
Well, we need to come to a close, and if folks are just tuning in, and if you don't recognize the voice from this from every weekday morning here in WERU, this is Jim Hightower that you've been hearing also a little bit earlier, and still on the phone line we have Tim Caverly. Jim, you're going to be talking about a lot of these issues at the event this weekend in Gorham for the Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility. So if we could get contact information or where that's going to be, maybe Tim, you could say where people can call to get information about tickets and times and locations for that event.
Sure, they can call my office phone number, which is 723-4656.
Okay.
723-4656. And the tickets are $15 in advance, or $20 at the door. And it's at Gorham High School, the McCormick Center for the Performing Arts.
Great. And Jim, where do people get in touch with you, or where can they learn more about your ideas? website?
JimHightower.com is my website, and you can see my commentaries there. You can get subscribe to the Hightower Lowdown newsletter, get the books, see the schedule, learn about the Rolling Thunder Down Home Democracy Tour, and other adventures that I'm off on. And if you're not so wired, you can also just call us here at 512-477-5588.
And also here on WERU every weekday morning at 11 o'clock. So.
Indeed, and I thank the good folks out there who are tuned into WERU and for the support that they give it. This is our community station.
Right.
This is our tool of democracy.
That's right. Thank you both very much for joining us.
Thanks for being.
Thank you.
Bye.
Someone's job and pay. When will we understand? No one will have a job if we destroy this land. No. Someone's playing God. What should be alive and what should not? Someone plays with fire, but you know we're only building our own funeral pyre. How can we sit here intellectualizing when we know what's happening is wrong? Causing mass extinction while doctors use machines on human lives to prolong. If someone's playing God, deciding who should be alive and who should not. If someone plays with fire, but you know he's only building his own funeral pyre. The few who live in luxury. Perhaps it's up to you and I. To save this world, we'll have to put up one hell of a good fight. A good fight. We have a voice. The bodies that are strong as the mountain. Yes, we have a choice. Part of the destruction, or do something to defend the earth. Defend the earth. Do what you can, do what you must, but just do something to defend the earth. Defend the earth. Do what you can, do what you must, but just do something to defend the earth. Defend the earth. Do what you can, do what you must, but just do something to defend the earth. Defend the earth. Do what you can do what you must, but just do something to defend the earth. Defend the earth.
That was Alice DiMicelli with Defend the Earth.
You've been listening to Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal. I'm Amy Brown.
And I'm Meredith DeFrancesco. We'd like to thank Joel Mann for engineering today, Andy Buckley for web support, and you for listening and acting.
You can contact us here at WERU or by emailing radioactivenews@hotmail.com.
You can listen to archived Radioactive programs on the web at www.freespeech.org/RAN or at mainindymedia.org.
Please join us again next Thursday and stay tuned now for Free Speech Radio News, then Democracy Now!